Greatness. What is greatness? Sa kingdom ng Dubai, alam po natin ang kahulugan, anong itsura ng greatness. Greatness can look like the biggest mall in the world. Greatness can be yung artificial ski park sa Albarsha. Greatness can be the biggest airport in the world. Man-made islands. Sa kingdom ng Dubai, we know what greatness looks like. How about you? Ano ang ibig sabihin sa iyo ng greatness? Or better yet, sa kingdom ng Panginoong Hesukristo, ano ang kahulugan, meaning, ng greatness? Well, yun po ang titignan natin ngayong gabi na ito. We're going to continue our study series in the Gospel according to Mark, na isinulat ni John Mark. And this is a study where we meditate and read and study about the life and ministry ng Panginoong Hesukristo. And we have been sa chapter 10 for this past weeks. Ang chapter 10 po is focused on Jesus at sa kanyang disciples at yung kanilang journey papuntang Jerusalem. Ang pinaka-theme ng journey na ito is yung time ni Jesus sa kanyang disciples or Jesus' discipling time with His disciples. Tinignan natin sa mga nakaraan na pag-aaral ang discipleship na tinuro ni Jesus Christ sa kanyang mga disciples. Napag-usapan natin yung discipleship time niya sa disciples patungkol sa marriage, children, riches, rewards. At ngayong gabi naman po, it is a discipleship patungkol po sa true greatness. A discipleship on serving. Ito po ang panalangin ko sa atin ngayong gabi na ito, na makita natin that true greatness is found in humbly serving others to the glory of God. That's why ang point natin ngayong gabi na ito is this. A disciple of Christ is marked by Jesus' example of selfless service. A disciple of Christ is marked by Jesus' example of selfless service. Itong passage na binasa kanina ni Ate Fe is divided into 3 points. Number one, the self-serving servants, 32 to 41. The sign of true servanthood, verses 42 to 44. And number four, the suffering servant, verse 45. Pisan ho natin sa pinakauna, the self-serving servants. Basahin po natin yung verse 32 muli sa English Standard Version. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed them were afraid. So, naglalakbay si Jesus kasama ang kanyang mga disciples at yung mga grupo-grupo ng mga tagasunod niya pa-southward or southbound. Papunta po yan sa Jerusalem. At ang mapapansin natin sa passage na ito na binasa natin ngayon lang, eh si Jesus ay nangunguna sa kanyang paglakad. Hindi ko tayo magtataka kasi ito po ay customary sa mga Jewish rabbis to walk ahead of their followers. Pero intentional na ginawa ni Jesus Christ yan for a much greater meaning. Nung ginawa niya yan is namangha ang mga disciples niya sa kanya. Bakit kaya namangha or na-amaze? It's because they know na pagdating po sa Jerusalem, makaharap po ng kabigatan and suffering and hardship and even death si Jesus Christ. Yet nakikita niya nangunguna si Jesus Christ sa kanila, determined to do this. From this, they were amazed. Minabanggit din dito na ibang grupo na kung saan sumusunod, papunta rin sa Jerusalem. Sino yung mga grupo na ito? Well, sa mga scholar, they all agree that this is a different group. Mga group na papunta rin po sa Jerusalem para mag-celebrate po ng Jerusalem festivity. Kaya papunta po sila roon. Kaya nung nakita nila na isang maraming tao, crowds, remember, crowds of people, papunta sa Jerusalem, at si Jesus yung nangunguna, alam nila na may mangyayari na kung saan kakaiba dahil nakita nila na maraming ang papunta roon at doon sila nagkaroon ng takot kahit hindi nila nauunawaan kung ano yung nangyayari. So yun po yung sinasabi ng verse 32 rito. At sa huling pagkakataon, pinaliwanag ni Jesus sa 12 disciples niya ang mangyayari sa kanya pagdating sa Jerusalem. At ano ang sinabi ni Jesus? Kasi di ba, nauuna siya, tapos bigla siya huminto, tara lang, pinapunta niya yung 12 sabayan niyo ako papunta ron. And ito po yung sinabi niya. Let's read verses 32 hanggang 33. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise."
Itong ikatlong pagkakataon na inulit ni Jesus yung prediction ng kanyang pagkamatay at pagkabuhay. Ang pagkakaiba lang nito sa pagkatlong pangakal, kasi yung una sa chapter 9 verse 31 at saka sa chapter 8 verse 31 din. So magkaiba ito sa pangatlong pagpaliwanag kasi napaka-precise, napaka-accurate na ang pagkakabanggit po niya dito ng kanyang prediction. May mga ilang scholar po na naniniwala na dahil sa sobrang accurate po at precise ng, at detailed ng kanyang pagkakapredict, naniniwala sila na makasiguro nung pagkabuhay na ni Kristo na sinabi niya ito. Iyon ang paniniwala ng iba because it's very detailed. But if Jesus says who he claims to be, that he is the Son of God, that he is God, then tama lang po na dapat ganito ka-accurate at detailed ang bibitawan ni Jesus. So in short, hindi pa nangyayari ito. Kung makikita nyo nga, may resurrection na nga siyang binanggit dito kahit siya'y buhay pa. This is also true sa atin, sa ating theology ngayong panahon na ito, that Jesus was not forced to die for us on the cross. Dahil may mga nagtuturo ng karamihan, ay kasi napilitan si Jesus, kaya wala na siya magawa kung hindi ibinigay niya ang kanyang hindi po. Jesus was not forced to die for us on the cross. It was the plan of the triune God before creation. Hindi po ito plan B. Ay, pumalpak yung plan A kay Adam, so punta tayo sa plan B. Hindi po ito plan B. This is the plan to redeem His people from their sins. John chapter 10, verse 17 to 18. "This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. Verse 18, no one takes it from me," malinaw po yan, "but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father," sa Christian Standard Bible. So malinaw that the triune God planned this. Hindi ho siya napilitan o plan B lamang. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. "Yet it was the Lord's will," yung binasa ni Pastor John kanina, "it was the Lord's will to crush him." Ang bigat na ito, no? "And cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sins," yan yung sa New International Version. Kinaloob ng Panginoon, pinlano to ng Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before creation, na si Jesus ay mamatay. At sinabi niya sa Isaiah 15, "It was the Lord's will to crush him." Akala ko ba si Satan ang may gawa niya? Akala ko ba yung mga sundalo, yung mga yes, ginamit sila ng Panginoon, pero yung ultimate plan executor ay ang Panginoon. Ang tawag po din sa dinescribe ni Jesus sa mangyayari sa kanya, and I'm going to give up big words tonight, ang tawag po dyan ay penal substitutionary atonement. Okay, medyo mabigat yun. Penal substitutionary atonement. Isa-isay natin, penal o penal. Ang ibig sabihin po nito is more relating to punishment of offenses. So yun po yan, penal. Pwedeng itanda para hindi nyo makalimutan, penalty. Pag may nagawang pagkakamali o kasalanan, merong kaparusahan, yun po ang penal. Ang substitution naman is the act of taking a person's place of another. Okay? Substitute, I think familiar tayo sa basketball na substitute. Ibig sabihin, magpapalit kayo ng pwesto. So ano ibig sabihin ng penal substitution atonement? Ang ibig sabihin po dyan is the act of a person taking the punishment for someone else's offense. Ulitin ko. And the act of a person taking the punishment for someone else's offenses. Yung po ang ginawa ni Jesus Christ, yung po ang pinidik ni Jesus Christ na gagawin niya. Jesus receives the curse, the punishment from God that we, His people, deserve. He is our substitute. Ang tawag po dyan is the great exchange na dapat tayo ang pinarusahan. Hindi na yan ang Diyos Ama, pinadala ang anak siya ang pinarusahan para sa ating kasalanan. Because ang tawag naman po dyan, nung pinarusahan, tinanggap ng Panginoon, is propitiation, another big word. Propitiation, ang ibig sabihin po niyan, yung sacrifice niya na satisfy yung wrath ng Panginoon. Okay? God's requirement for justice is satisfied. So Jesus, on the roadway papunta sa Jerusalem with his disciples, ay pinaliwanag sa mga disciples niya ang mangyayaring ito. Kung faithful sila sa Old Testament, malamang naaalala nila yung Isaiah 53, di ba? Malamang kung ikaw yung kasama ni Jesus, parang namamaalam na. Malamang nagkaroon tayo ng mga pagkakataon ng mga mahal natin sa buhay na kung saan na namamaalam na. O, tandaan mo, ha? Hindi ko alam kung tatagal na ako. And from there should be deep sorrow and concern and even panicking na mawawala yung tao sa buhay mo. Isang tao na mahalaga sa iyo. Naunawaan ba ng mga disciples yung bigat ng sitwasyon na ito? Well, tingnan natin sa verse 35 hanggang 37 kung anong reaksyon nila. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right and one at your left in your glory." This was an odd request. Parang wala sa lugar at parang hindi sensitive yung bitaw ng magkapatid na ito, no? Here was Jesus pouring out his heart sa mga disciples niya, saying, ako'y pahihirapan, ako'y hihiyain, ako'y prosecute, ako'y bibitayin, at sari-saring paghihirap ang dadaranasin ko once na pagpasok sa Jerusalem. Pero anong ginawa ng magkapatid? Wala silang inisip kundi ang sarili nilang kapakanan. Yun po ang nangyayari po rito. Kasi naniniwala ang mga disciples na si Jesus ang Messiah. By this time, naniniwala sila, siya yung promised na King David type na Messiah na pinedict sa Old Testament. And naniniwala ang mga disciples, hindi lang si James at si John, na once na pagpasok nila ng Jerusalem, magsisimula na, itataguyod na yung Messianic Kingdom. Yun ang alam nila. So, in short, pagdating doon, in-expect na sila all glory na magiging king na si Jesus ng Jews sa lahat. Na malaking David. Yun ang inaasahan na. Kaya naghangad ang mga magkapatid na ito na mabigyan sila ng mataas na karangalan at katungkulan sa kaharian ng Diyos. O nga pala, Lord, pagpasok sa, huwag mo kami kalimutan, baka makalimutan mo kami. Baka pwede mo kami bigyan ng posisyon, ano, dyan sa gobyerno mo pag ikaw ay nataguyod na. Yun po yung litanya parang na lumalabas dito. So, paano sila sinagot ni Jesus? Ikakasabi lang niya na pagpasok ko na ay mamamatay ako. Verse 38. Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" Again, he's using an analogy, no, para mapaliwanag yung kanilang sitwasyon, yung kanilang katanungan. Ano ba yung cup dito? Ang cup po sa Old Testament is an analogy for taking in something or draining it. So sa Isaiah chapter 31 sa Old Testament at sa iba pang mga Old Testament passages, ang pagsinabing cup, it talks about yung outpouring wrath of God. O yung nagngingit-ngit, naggalit ng Diyos na binubuhos niya, yun yung ibig sabihin ng cup doon. Ang baptism naman na magginagamit dito, or some would call it baptism by fire, ang ibig sabihin po niyan, from word baptism, is submerged. Pero yung paggamit ni Jesus dito is similar sa Old Testament analogy na kung saan submerge sa suffering. Yun yung sinasabi niya dito, submerge sa suffering or hardship. Yun ang mangyayari sa kanya. So Jesus was talking about his suffering, his intense suffering as he marches to the cross. Yun ang tinatanong niya, kaya niyo bang mapako sa krus? Of course, he hides it through an analogy of baptism in a cup. Well, naintindihan kaya ng mga disciples ng magkapatid na ito. Tingnan natin yung sagot nila sa verse 39. And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." Medyo may kayabangan yung sagot ng mga, "Oh, kaya namin. Kaya mo ba inumin? Oh, alam namin, kaya namin yan. Medyo ignorant at saka arrogant yung kanilang sagot. No? Only Jesus can go through such suffering sa cross. Pero hindi nila naintindihan yun. But eventually, sinasabi ni Jesus is, they will also participate sa suffering ni Jesus Christ as they continue to follow Him. So in short, that is true sa atin mga Kristiyano rin ngayon, that as you are a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, you are marked for suffering because we are not of this world. Maybe some of you are saying, yes, Pastor, I think I'm in that situation. Yes, kasi you are not from this world. You are a child of God. This is the enemy's world, and we will be attacked. We will be tested. The only time that we will have perfect peace, perfect prosperity, perfect joy is when we rejoin with our Savior, Jesus Christ, sa heaven. The point is, ang magkapatid na ito are desiring privileged positions. They want to be great sa kingdom ni Jesus. So how did the other disciples respond? Malamang nakita nila yung ginawa ng dalawang yon. Verse 41, and when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. Ano ibig sabihin na indignant? Nagalit. Nairita. Napikon sa narinig nilang binitaw. Eh bakit sila nagalit? Now, sino ba hindi magagalit? Eh, kita mo na parang namamaalam na si Jesus. Malamang magagalit kaya hindi yun ang dahilan kung bakit nagalit ang disciples. Hindi ito righteous indignation, hindi ito righteous anger. Ang dahilan kung bakit sila nagalit, kasi naunahan sila. Yun ang dahilan. Nakakatawa pero nakakalungkot. Kasi sila rin naghahangad. Isipin mo, naglalakad sila, oh, malapit na sa Jerusalem, magiging hari na siya, sino kayong pipiliin sa amin? Biglang tumakbo yung dalawa, inunahan na niya yung sila Peter. Nakikita niyo ba yung sitwasyon dito? Eh, siyempre mapipik, ay, kapal na mukha ng mga ito, inunahan pa tayo. Kung merong una may irita dyan, si Peter eh. Kasi mas, feeling ni Peter, mas privileged siya. Okay? So yun po yung nangyayari dito sa sitwasyon na ito. So the disciples are in competition kung sino sa kanila ang pinakadakila. Hindi ito itong unang pagkakataon. Sa chapter 9, verse 34, they were arguing who is the greatest. Sa chapter 9, verse 30, lahat ito papunta sa Jerusalem. Ano? Chapter 9, verse 38, they were so self-entitled na sila ang the great 12 apostles. Kung may nakita silang mama na nag-successfully cast out demons, nirebuke nila. Bakit nagkakaskas ka ng demon? Hindi pwede. Kung hindi ka disciple, hindi. Ganon sila kayabang. Ganon sila self-entitled. Ganon kataas ang tingin nila sa sarili nila. So self-glory is already brewing in their hearts even before makadating sa Jerusalem. Could it be that they were serving Jesus for self-serving, self-honoring reasons? Di kaya? Friends, could it be that we are serving the Lord in the ministry for self-glorifying reasons? In Paul Tripp's article, he gives 5 diagnostic questions to recognize if there is self-glory in us sa paglilingkod sa Panginoon. So let's ask those questions and use it as diagnostic sa atin. And I don't want you to start thinking of other people or throwing some elbows. I want us to meditate on ourselves. Okay, number 1. Do you parade in public what you should keep in private? Do we tend to tell personal experiences na lumalabas na tayo ang bida sa ating istorya? Do you hear yourself minsan, unconsciously, all of a sudden, sa kalagitnaan ng kwento, wala naman dito ang kwento pero napunta ron at lumalabas na ikaw ang bida. Ikaw ang magaling. Ikaw ang righteous one. Ikaw ang humble sa kwentuhan. Ikaw ang patient. Ikaw ang naagrabyado. Pero naging mabait ka sa kanya. Yun ang labas ng storya. Ikaw ang generous sa storya. Ikaw ang theologically sound sa storya. Do you parade in public what should be kept in private? Number 2. Do you do too much self-referencing? Do you do too much self-referencing? Or to ask it this way, do we talk a lot about ourselves to other people? Madalas mo bang pagkwentuhan ang sarili mo sa ibang tao? Do we tend to think that we know more and that our opinions are always better than others kaya hindi natin pinakikinggan yung opinion ng iba? Proud people don't talk about their weaknesses. Proud people don't talk about their struggles. Proud people don't share yung kanilang mga mistakes. Proud people doesn't want to confess their sins to brothers and sisters. But they love opening up stories on how good they are. Third, do you talk when you should be silent? Ito naman yung kabaliktaran. Do you talk when you should be silent? Do you have a tendency to talk more than you should? Do you have a tendency to dominate yung mga conversations? Or always want to win arguments? Fourth, are you quiet when you should speak? Ito pala yung kabaliktaran, hindi yung kanina. Are you quiet when you should speak? Ikaw ba'y nananahimik na kung kailang kailangan mo magsalita, doon ka tumatahimik? Yun yung sinasabi dito. Do you have a tendency to be silent because you think you know more than others? Hindi ako sasagot sa class na ito kasi alam ko na yan. Pabayaan mo na yung mga iba. Pero ako, alam ko na yan. Tatahimik na lang ako. Or tingin mo sa iba ay mababaw ang kaalaman kaya ayaw mo kausapin. Although, I pray, Crossroads, na hindi tayo maging ganito. Na hindi tayo makikipag-engage sa bawat isa because we feel na mas mataas tayo sa kanila. Na hindi natin kakausapin, pipiliin lang natin yung mga kakausapin na pakikahalibuilo natin sa mga iba dahil feeling natin naka-level natin sila. O mas mataas sa atin. Pero hindi ko kakausapin yung mga na medyo mababa ang intellect, mababa ang estado sa buhay. Mahina hindi ko type. I pray that we would not be marked by that. Five, do you care too much about what people think about you? Do you have a tendency to please people? Nagagawin mo lahat, sasabihin mong lahat, ipopost mo ang lahat para ma-appreciate ka lang, para mapansin ka. Nung inaaral ko ito, nung sinusulat ko to, I would say, kung may checkbox to, lahat to sa akin. That's why it's hard. That's why there are times when I prepare sermons, I would say, tuturo ko ba to? Kasi medyo guilty ako rito eh. Just so you know, ako lahat to. And I'm fighting it. And I'm fighting it with accountability, with people, and trusting the Lord to change my heart pagdating dito. Clearly, ang magkapatid na si James and John at disciples did not understand yung sinabi ni Jesus. Pare-pareho sila ng puso. It seems that they have the spirit of competition and often serve for self-glory reasons. How did Jesus respond? Paano nag-respond si Jesus? Well, of course, with grace. And they taught his disciples what true servanthood is, which is your number two. Second point, the sign of true servanthood. Verses 42 to 43, and Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you, you must be a slave of all. Jesus gave them another reason kung ano ibig sabihin ng greatness. Nagbigay siya ng halimbawa kung papaano ang mga Gentile rulers magtrato ng kanilang mga tauhan. Okay? Kung tratuhin ng mga Gentile rulers ang kanilang tauhan, is mababa ang tingin niya sa kanila. Excuse me. Mababa ang tingin niya sa kanila. Walang halaga. Kasi ang tingin nila sa sarili nila ay mataas at higit pa sa kanila. So Jesus is urging them, mga kapatid, huwag kayong ganun. Don't be like them, sabi ni Jesus. Jesus not against aspiring greatness. Wala naman sinabi si Jesus Christ, huwag kayong mag-aspire for greatness. He's saying, wag lang sa pamaraan na yon. Excuse me. He wants them to be great in a different way. Jesus redefines what true greatness is. Ano sabi sa verse 44? And that is to be slave to all. Hindi ba yung sinabi? To be slave to all. A slave does not think highly of themselves. Instead, humbly bows down and serve ayon sa kagustuhan ng kanilang master. A follower of Jesus should be the same. Dapat pareho na natin sila. We must bow our hearts before God and to others and serve ayon sa kagustuhan ng ating master na si Jesus. Whoever wants to be great must be a slave, must be a servant of all. Crossroads Church of Dubai, let us be great by being a humble servant sa land na ito. In his book, Humility, si C.J. Mahaney defines what true greatness is. At eto ang sinabi niya. True greatness, biblically defined, serving others for the glory of God. Serving others for the glory of God. True greatness is pursuing not our own glory, but the glory of God, and our service should be dictated according sa kagustuhan ng ating master. Friends, does this type of service mark your life? Are you serving others to the glory of God or for the glory of God? Or are we serving for our own glory? Or maybe yung kabaliktaran, we want to be served and always waiting to be served. I am thankful for the men and women sa Crossroads who come more than 30 minutes before ng church service natin nagsimula to carry equipment, test microphones, set up music instruments, check the sound system, angle the cameras right, prepare the slides. They are the first people to come and they are the last people to leave. I thank God sa mga manlilingkod natin ganito who is humbly serving for the glory of God. Men and women who take risks after the service na mapahiya sila in order to greet someone o magpakilala sa hindi nakilala kahit they're taking a risk. An introvert probably na kung saan hindi sanay makipaglubilo but they know they need to do this for the glory of God. Kikilalanin ko sino itong tao na to so that they can serve them. Praise God for these people. I am equally thankful to men and women sa Crossroads who serve behind the scenes, men and women who cook and order meals for the sick and needy at pinadadala o dinadala nila mismo sa mga nangangailangan. For the couples and families who welcome members sa kanilang tahanan in order to serve them with home-cooked meals and to serve them with counsel and prayer. Thankful for the men and women who intentionally meet in order to strengthen one another in words and in deeds, crying and rejoicing together. I'm thankful sa mga members na nagtutulungan na i-share yung gospel sa kanilang mga kamag-anak. I've encountered many na kung sa teka magpapatulong ako, i-share natin ang gospel ito aking kaibigan, share natin ang gospel ito aking kamag-anak. And I praise God for that. Thankful for the volunteers who help parents disciple their children and their kids. Thankful for men who tirelessly prepare yung Bible study materials weekly in order to lead others to understand and apply God's Word. Thankful for those who help each other practically and financially during itong difficult season na ito. Keep humbly serving Crossroads. Keep humbly serving one another to the glory of God for the glory of God. Let us not be like the disciples who serve with competitive hearts and seek to receive honor and glory for themselves. I hope you find this encouraging, mga kapatid, kung paano ginagamit ng Panginoon ang bawat isa sa atin despite our limitations. Despite our weaknesses. But let me push us sa ating application a little bit more. Or rather, let Jesus' words push us a little bit. Ano sabi sa verse 44? You must be slave of all. Slave of all. This means we are to serve others outside our covenant family. We are to serve others sa hindi taga-church. Sa mga empleyado dito, serve not only your manager or CEO, but also your colleagues. Serve yung office boy o yung office girl na nagbibigay ng chai sa inyo, na naglilinis sa inyong floors. Serve even the most difficult people sa inyong office. Even in difficult circumstances, by being humble, gracious, and patient, even to those na kung saan pinahihirapan kayo, it seems like, sa inyong trabaho. Work hard without complaining, even if you are not promoted, even if you are not appreciated, even you are treated unjustly. Humbly serve for the glory of God. Work also in a way that is right and pleasing sa harapan ng Diyos. Hindi sa mga illegal o mga shortcut na kapamamaraanan. Friends, let us be reminded who our real master is, who we are truly serving, so we serve for the glory of God. Sa mga estudyante na nandito, students, be a servant for the glory of God by helping other students who are behind in their lessons or are struggling in their paces. Serve your teachers by being a good student, by thanking them and appreciating them. Sa mga magulang na nandito, parents, serve your children for the glory of God. Sa parallel account ng Matthew, the same story, si James at saka si John, kasama nila yung nanay nila sa account ng Matthew. And ang inutusan talaga nila ang makiusap ay yung nanay nila, hindi sila. So pati yung nanay nilang nakiusap para malagay sila sa posisyon. Bakit na ginawa yan? Well, I know parents desires only what is best for their children. But question for the parents. Parents, what are you hoping for your children? What are you hoping for your children? Ano ang mga pangarap ninyo sa kanila? Ito ba'y makagraduate ng college, magkaroon ng parangal, makakuha ng magandang trabaho, matinong asawa? Hindi naman po masama itong mga hangarin na ito. Tama po yan. Pero mga magulang, what is the real motive on making a lot of effort for your children to do well? A lot of effort for them to be prim and proper. Could it be so that you would look good to others? I remember yung mother ko before kami magbibisita sa aming mga tita, sa magkakapatid ako, isa sa mga pinakamakulit at madaldal. And I do things that would embarrass my parents, okay? So, ang sabi sa akin ng nanay ko, okay, sinasabihan ko sa, wag ka magkukulit, wag na mo sasabihin to, wag mo gagawin to, wag mo kong pahihiyain sa harapan ng mga tita mo. Are we raising them up para hindi lang tayo mapahiya? Are we raising them up so that hindi lang tayo magmukhang walang kwentang magulang? Or should we be raising them up for the glory of God? Parents, if you are only concerned sa temporal recognition or physical well-being ng inyong mga anak, then you are not serving them well. Mga magulang, serve your children well by pointing them to the true greatness is serving for the glory of God. It is about God's glory, not their glory, not your glory. Talk to them more about their character than their achievements, about godliness than kung paano sila makakuha ng mataas na grade. Ang major task ng mga magulang is to prepare their children for that final judgment. That is your major task, is to prepare your children for that final judgment kapag kaharap na nila ang Diyos face to face. Point them to Jesus. Point them to the gospel. Live the gospel sa harapan nila. How are you discipling your children on what true greatness is, mga magulang? Teach them humble serving is for the glory of God. So si Jesus di lang niya pinaliwanag kung ano ang tunay na servanthood, pinakita pa niya ito. Paano niya pinakita, Pastor? Number 3 and last. The suffering servant. Verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served but to serve and to give His life as ransom for many. Ransom dito means buying someone from captivity. Ito pa yung litrato ng isang government, isang gobyerno na kung saan of a certain country trying to buy back yung mga sundalo na kung saan prisoners of war. They need to buy yung ransom money para maibalik, para ma-restore, para mapakawalan sila. Setting them free from bondage and slavery. In short, redeeming them. Friends, the Bible says we are in bondage and slavery to sin. John 8:34, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin.
Lahat tayo ay alipin ng kasalanan at naglilingkod para sa sariling kapakanan at kapakinabangan. Kasiyahan at kuluwalhatian, yan ang dahilan kung bakit tayo naglilingkod talaga.
We serve for our self-serving purposes. We only want to serve one master. Alam niyo kung sino yung master na gusto natin, sir, paborito nating paglingkuran, and that master is ourselves.
And God calls that idolatry because we are created to serve only one master, and that is God. And because of our sin of self-glory, ito sinabi na ang Panginoon sa Isaiah 42 verse 6.
I am the Lord, this is my name, and I will not give my glory to another or praise to idols.
Galit ang Panginoon sa ganitong klaseng puso, and He will judge to eternal hell for those na kung saan magpapatuloy sa ganitong klaseng estado.
No one can save us from our sins. We need someone who will ransom us.
But God is the one who gave the ransom.
He sends His Son Jesus. The King is the ransom Himself. He embodied a true servant. He came to this world, took the form of a slave, as a helpless baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. This baby grew up in a home kung saan ang tatay ay karpintero. He lived a perfect life of humble service to God the Father and died a humiliating death on the cross to ransom us.
Jesus became our ransom for our bondage. The payment was His life, and He paid in full.
This ransom was paid to God. He is the judge that needs to be satisfied. He died, was buried, and on the third day has risen from the grave, which is yun ang good news.
Anyone who humbles himself or herself and turns away from his or her self-glory lifestyle and trusts Jesus as the only way to be reconciled to the Father,
ang tao na yan ay magkakaroon ng kapatawaran sa kanyang kasalanan, paglilinis sa kanyang kasalanan, at magkakaroon ng buhay na walang hanggan.
The Bible calls us to repent from our sins and trust Jesus' finished work on the cross.
Pagsisihan ang ating kasalanan at ilagay ang ating pananampalataya na si Kristo lamang at ang ginawa niya sa krus ang pwedeng magligtas sa atin.
Friends, let us be humble servants for the glory of God.
Kung meron po kayong kukunin palabas dito, it's this.
Be humble servants of Jesus for the glory of God.
A disciple of Christ is marked by Jesus' example of selfless service.
Let us pray.
Father, we talk about humility and service, and we confess yung hearts namin ay malayo po dito. If we are to serve, we only want to serve yung sarili namin. Even our good works are tainted by sin. Oh Father, forgive us. Thank you for Jesus Christ who grants forgiveness.
Lord, I pray sa pag-uwi namin, I pray as we talk to our spouses, sa pakikipag-usap namin mamaya sa aming asawa, help us to serve yung mga asawa namin for the glory of God.
As we talk to our children, help us to talk to them and serve them for the glory of God.
As we go back sa aming mga trabaho bukas, help us to face our job, our colleagues, our boss, serving them for the glory of God.
Pagbalik namin sa aming mga flatmates, mamaya, help us to serve them for your glory.
Because we are created not for our own glory, but for your glory alone.
In Christ's name we pray, Amen.